The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
Seth Rollins goes steel chair crazy. Bray Wyatt's Firefly Funhouse gets even weirder. And Roman Reigns finally gets some payback on Shane McMahon. All of that and your full WWE Raw review right after this. So have you guys tried CBD oil? If you haven't, I'd really recommend that you do. My wife loves it. It helps her relax. And I found a website that is probably the most comprehensive that there is. And that's CBDBargainStore.com. That's CBDBargainStore.com. And when you go on this website, first of all, you'll get a 15% discount on your first order. And you can join the email list for continued great price deals. But they don't just sell the oil. They also sell balms, lotions, capsules, pure CBD oil, obviously, and several pet products for your furry family members. So what exactly is CBD? It's a natural chemical compound that comes from the hemp plant. And it's one of over 85 compounds found in hemp, known as cannabinoids. However, CBD is not a psychotropic cannabinoid like THC. It's not what you find in marijuana, so CBD does not produce intoxication or euphoria. And guess what? It works. Like I said, my wife uses it. I've tried it, and it really just helps you calm down if you have anxiety issues or if you're stressed. This really can be a really awesome product. And right now, you can check the best deal that I've seen out on CBDBargainStore.com. Again, you'll get 15% off of your first order, and there's free shipping on orders of $75 and more. Oh, and did I mention that they have CBD peanut butter? Yeah, check that out. I love peanut butter, and if you love peanut butter, this is going to be your perfect combination. So check out CBDBargainStore.com. That's CBDBargainStore.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
How you doing, everybody? Welcome to the WWE Podcast on this Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. This is going to be the official WWE Raw Review Show, and I'm really excited to talk about it because there's actually a lot of good stuff. I'm not going to tear the product to pieces like I typically do on Thursdays, but tomorrow will be my SmackDown Review Show, and then on Thursday, I'll be joined by my co-host Anthony DeMarco, so that'll round out the week for your listening pleasure, and then I'll be back Sunday. So this show is just not going to be available on Friday and Saturday as far as new episodes go, so we'll be taking a bit of a break Friday and Saturday, but that's okay because it's summer now. Well, not officially, but close to officially, and people have plans and things like that, so I don't anticipate that you guys will be sitting by the pool clamoring for a new show, but feel free to, by all means, listen to old episodes and maybe even browse the website, which is a lot of fun, and a lot of work and everything went into that, and a lot of feedback from you guys have been very positive, so thank you very much for that. And so Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. I'm not even going to waste time. None of the normal nonsense. Let's just jump into it. And that is one thing I really liked, the aggressiveness of Seth Rollins. The aggressiveness that has been missing from Seth Rollins. The unpredictability that has been missing from Seth Rollins. A lot of that was shown Monday night. I enjoyed his aggressiveness for the most part, hitting everybody in the back with steel chairs. Anybody that had maybe even thought about being a guest referee for Baron Corbin, he attacked and brutally attacked with a steel chair. Obviously, in WWE 2019, the only place you can hit an opponent with a steel chair is in the back. And so that is what he did. I kind of miss steel chair shots to the head. That may sound morbid. It may sound selfish. I miss chair shots to the head. I will go on record of saying that. You're telling me you can't have some manufacturer draw up and manufacture a few worked chairs that aren't legitimately steel and are just kind of some substitute metal that looks good and you can use? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it's just so forced that you can't hit an opponent in the head and they just, you know, hit them in the gut, hit them in the back, hit them in the gut, hit them in the back and repeat. And it's just sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to see somebody hit somebody else in the head with a steel chair. I miss it. I really, really do. And you guys may sound, oh, that's what's wrong with you? The concussions. Oh, I'm not pro concussion. I am pro aggression when needed. So, but I'm living in the past. This is the present. And that is Seth Rollins beating the holy hell out of several WWE stars on Monday night. And EC3 is a victim, among others. And it was good to see. And I want to start out with a positive, and that's a good thing. He has really established himself as a dominant alpha male on the roster. He is champion. He is the universal champion. And yes, Paul Heyman came out and cut another promo that is starting to repeat itself a bit. I don't want Brock Lesnar to hold anything hostage. He held the Universal Championship hostage for about 2 years, it felt like. And now he's got the Money in the Bank hanging over everybody's head. And I think, you think, we all think that Brock Lesnar, once he cashes in, is going to indeed be Universal Champion. Could he cash in against Kofi? Maybe. Maybe they're swerving us all and they think we're all supposed to believe that it's just Seth Rollins that Brock's going to go after when it is going to be Kofi Kingston that Brock Lesnar cashes in on. That could very well be the case. But I hate that Brock Lesnar, boy, I'm just transitioning into the critiques already. I just feel that Brock Lesnar holding anything hostage is doing a disservice to the product because he's not there on a weekly basis. I wouldn't even care if he's there on a bi-weekly basis, every 3 weeks even. But he's there, what, every month at the best, every couple months, and then just shows up and I don't know. I know that Vince McMahon is trying to get his money's worth and use Brock for everything that he can while he's under contract and while Brock is still capable of dishing out beatings and still having the credentials of being a beast. I get all of that. But, man, Brock needs... You know what Brock needs? Brock needs to be Brock again. He's become this quasi-heel that comes out at opportune times to attempt to cash in a cowardly way, but he's Brock Lesnar. That's not Brock Lesnar's game. Even when he was a heel, that's not Brock Lesnar's game. Brock Lesnar's game is to come out there and beat his opponent down. Regardless of if he's a heel or face, that's what Brock does. And WWE and Brock are getting away from that. I want to see Brock be Brock. Not Brock be every other Money in the Bank champion. Every other strategy that has been used by a heel Money in the Bank winner, which is, I got to get him when they're most vulnerable. Got to get him when they're the most vulnerable. You're Brock effing Lesnar. Remind people of that. I don't need the repeat story. So it's not unrepairable. It's just gotten to the point where we're tired of seeing Brock because he's, again, kind of this quasi corporately selected guy that comes in and holds titles and goes away and, you know, runs and hides back to his hole in wherever the hell he is in Minnesota on a farm. And you don't see from him again or hear from him again. That needs to stop. That needs to stop. And if Vince McMahon is going to get the most out of his money, and you can bet your bottom dollar that he is paying Brock Lesnar a fortune to be there, why wouldn't you use him in the most, maximize his appearances in the best way possible? And right now, I don't think they are. I think they're trying to do a little comedy with Brock, and it's not working. Paul Heyman, of course, is Paul Heyman. He's A-plus every time. But it's just getting repetitive. So, let me get to some more good stuff I liked. Again, I liked Seth Rollins going around and beating the hell out of anybody that Baron Corbin tried to attempt to recruit as the guest referee. I like that. That was a positive. Another thing that I liked about Seth Rollins Monday night was the match he had with Daniel Bryan. I think that's a precursor for a very long program that they could have. I would love it. Right now, I don't think that is the time to do it. Why? Because Daniel Bryan and Rowan, the Planet's champions, are tag team champions. And if you're a tag team champion, you typically don't just get into a program with a guy that's on another brand that's the champion there. It's like vinegar and water. It doesn't mix. Or oil and water, better analogy. It just doesn't mix. There's too many complications. There's too many moving parts. You need to have both guys on the same page or on the same, even on the same brand, although that doesn't matter anymore because, oh, don't forget, folks, if you were counting about the wild card rule to see if WWE would stick to their guns, well, I guess they did because they saved themselves by saying that a team is considered one. Really? So if you're a team, you're just considered one person that is eligible to move from your brand to the opposing brand on their show. So you could just, why not just bring over the whole roster and say, well, we're all one team. These are the kinds of things that I pay attention to. I'm not following this wild card rule. It's so sloppily done. It's so sloppily done when it could be easily rectified by just small details that are overlooked, or Vince says people don't care or pay attention. I do. I think a lot of other fans do. Even Kevin Owens said last week on SmackDown, I'm here as the wild card, whatever the hell that is. Yeah, nobody knows. It's just WWE's way of saying, well, we have a brand split, but not really. Only when we want to have a brand split and it's convenient for storyline will we have one. If not, we'll just kind of bring people over, and if we need to bring more than four, because apparently that's the limit, we'll just pair them up as a team, and then they're only considered as one. What? This is just such a... It's only done when it's at their convenience. And it, as a fan, I want to know just detail. Like, okay, even as in preposterous as that is, that anybody could come over as a team and it's only considered one. Okay, fine. I will accept that for the purpose of this argument. Fine. Okay, as stupid as that is, and I don't agree with that as it is, moving past that, the more pressing issue is, how do you get that wild card? Like, again, tell me how it happens. Who do you call? Can you call dibs? Is it like calling shotgun? Only when you're at the building can you, I got dibs? You just walk up to the building. Does the building have to be an eye shot to say shotgun? I don't know how this works. I guess I'm not supposed to dig into it or care, but I do, because it's a big deal that you have cross-brand rivalries going on with no explanation of how these people get there. Maybe it's a small detail, but one in which they could easily rectify, but don't take the time to care to tell fans because they figure most people don't care, which I think they're wrong. I don't think it's just me. Just small details. I'm not asking them to get into a thesis about it. Okay, moving along. Another thing I really liked is Drew McIntyre's promo backstage. When him and Shane and Revival were partying backstage and having champagne and lobster. I think it was lobster. And he looked right into the camera and he's telling Roman Reigns that he's going to physically mutilate him and what he's going to do. Again, I will sing the praises of this guy one more time. Believable. Scary. Legitimately scary. When he looks into the camera, it feels as if he's looking at you. Rare trait. Rare trait that that's doable, that you feel that. Name another guy that when they're cutting a promo, you feel their promo more often than not. I can't even put Seth Rollins on that page because I feel like he sometimes is just spewing off scripted language. Drew, who I'm assuming is also scripted, doesn't feel that way. I like that he is dressing differently. I don't always need to see him in his wrestling gear all the time. It's nice that he's backstage. I like this. I really like this pairing with him and Shane. I'm feeling it. I really am. And I was concerned at first that it was all going to be about Shane, not Drew, but it's transitioning into Drew. You know how I know it's transitioning into Drew? Because Roman Reigns finally got his revenge on Shane on Monday night. And typically when the babyface gets an outright clean beatdown of the heel, typically, they are done with that individual in terms of having a match with them and they move on to the main event. Shane was the appetizer and Drew McIntyre is the main event for Roman Reigns, and that's the way it should have been and seems to be the way they're going. Shane finally gets his ass whooped on Monday night. I love that. There's another thing I like. That's another thing I like. I'm on a roll. I really enjoyed Roman Reigns. That is, listen to me closely, folks. That was the first spear in Roman Reigns' career in WWE that I actually audibly said out loud, yes. I audibly applauded Roman Reigns finally spearing Shane McMahon after what it seems like a month or more now that they've been feuding since Roman struck Vince McMahon with a Superman punch, which, by the way, how does nobody see a Superman punch coming? It's got a lot of hang time. If Roman Reigns is in the air, just, you know, step aside. He'll miss. I mean, I just don't know how so many people don't see the Superman punch coming. It's such a hang time move that it's very obvious when he's going to do it. It's a quick move, but the problem is that there's so much setup and showman to it that it becomes a little bit unbelievable when he hits it that they didn't see it coming. And I don't know why or how more people don't block it or dodge or just simply step aside. Really? I mean, but nonetheless, I audibly said and cheered for the first spear that Roman Reigns has ever completed in his career on Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon is doing a very good job. Here's another one. And I've said this before. I'll say it again. Shane McMahon, regardless of the fact, I'm putting aside the fact that he should not be on equal footing. I should not be told to believe that he's on equal footing with anyone on the roster. Anybody. He shouldn't be. Because he's not. He's not. He may be in great shape for a 49-year-old man. And congratulations. I think that's great. He's got good cardio. He's in great gym shape. He's a very, very good promo. He's a great heel. But he's not a wrestler. And I shouldn't be told to believe as such. Because it's insulting my intelligence as a fan. But back to the positive. Because I'm going to load you guys up with positive before I give some thoughts on things that could be improved. How about that for a professional way of saying things that I hated? But I'm going to get to that soon. But I'm loving Shane as a heel. I have to sing his praises on that. I was a proponent of Shane McMahon being a heel, turning heel when he won the Best in the World Cup at Crown Jewel last year. And boy, has he used that to his advantage and promos and everything else and belittling the announcers and asking for ridiculous ring entrances, all of that. I love it, but I hate it. And I hate it in a good way, not in the, oh my God, this is stupid. I like it. I hate it so much that I like it, if that makes sense. Like it's heel heat that I haven't felt for a character in a very long time. So when Roman Reigns hit the spear on Shane, it felt like a relief. It felt good. I was living vicariously through him. That is the first time that I cheered for his spear. And I didn't either groan or go, I mean, or feel indifferent or whatever. So since Roman has been babyface, this is the first program in his career that I am behind his character. Not the man, the character.
So get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5.
Now, circling back to some things I didn't like about Seth Rollins. And that would be Seth Rollins attacking people from behind with a chair. That was undeservingly so. Attacking people from behind. I mean, that's what heels do, right? I mean, even the crowd in person seemed a little bit disconnected with that. Like, isn't that kind of cowardly? Like, should we be cheering this? Why are we cheering this again? I mean, and also, when you think about it, say Shane McMahon, you know, took out everybody that Baron Corbin wanted to be the pick. Why wouldn't Baron Corbin just, hey, I don't know, pick up the phone and text somebody that he is interested in having as the special guest referee and say, hey, you know, just don't announce it, but I want you to be my special referee instead of doing it on, you know, I don't know, live television in front of millions of people? There's a thought. I mean, to avoid Seth magically being there at every turn. And furthermore, how is Seth beating down EC3 and company with a steel chair, preventing them from being the special guest referee? Wouldn't that be more of an incentive for that individual to want to be a special guest referee? Because now, okay, yeah, you beat me up. Congratulations. Now you've just pissed me off and motivated me more to be that special guest referee for your championship match, which is now in my hands. It's just, what? I'm not following this. Like, I appreciate the aggressiveness. I love the aggressiveness and that kind of like new edge to Seth Rollins. I'm applauding it. I approve of it. But in this way, attacking people from behind, some that didn't even deserve it, like Eric Young, didn't even deserve it. And beating them down from behind, all of them from behind, as a heel would do. And then not thinking about, hey, well, how is this going to stop them from being my special guest referee? I don't know. Maybe, am I overthinking this, guys? Like, tell me, please. Tweet me at the WWE podcast on Twitter. Which, by the way, there is a the WWE podcast without the underscores in between the words. That's not me. Okay. I'm the one with the underscores. Just look for my logo. You guys will find me. But tweet me. Let me know what you guys think. Like, am I overthinking this? That logically, it's not a smart move by Seth Rollins to do this. It may feel good in the moment, but you know, as a performer, how do you not know that this is really screwing yourself in the end? That the people you are attacking, not only are you screwing yourself for a potential special guest referee, that apparently you think you're eliminating that option if you hit them in the back with a steel chair a couple times and they can't recover in 6 days till Sunday, but you're also creating enemies that you didn't have before. Why would you want to do that? Am I overthinking this? Please, somebody, anybody. And speaking of which, good transition here as I take a little bit of water. Aleister Black. I have not spoken about Aleister Black since he started his whole crusade about saying someone, anyone, knock at my door. I'm enjoying it. It's interesting. I think they're going for a heel here. I think he should be a heel. I didn't feel him as a face. And you know, but maybe they're not even going for face or heel. They're just saying, who are you? What are you? Let's define who you are. You're a guy just looking for a fight. And he's just sitting backstage, kind of speaking in semi-riddles, but begging someone to knock at his door. I like it. He feels genuine for the most part. And the fact that he's looking for somebody to fight is it's interesting because I don't remember the last time somebody said, hey, I am asking anyone to show up at my door. So, I mean, I don't really have a whole lot to say about that other than I like the segments so far. I like them. And it's going to be interesting to see who he indeed feuds with for his first program on Raw. Another thing I liked was the Firefly Funhouse this week that, yeah, as I said in the open of the show, got a little weirder because you thought it was going to end. And then it didn't. And then we got like flashbacks of things saying, let him in like flashes of words and just clips of the show that he's done so far in the fun house and random images of worms. And I guess we're supposed to maybe pick apart this promo. If anybody has the time to go frame by frame, I'm sure you could piece together the puzzle. If indeed it is that deep, I don't know. I don't have the time to do it. But from what my brain remembers of it, it was a lot of just flash images. And the most lasting image was of the Fiend with the mask, you know, just let me in, all that stuff. And I keep waiting for him to say, see you next week. Like, or, you know, just there were rumors circulating that he was going to be showing up in person on Monday Night Raw. Obviously, that didn't happen. I'm not ready for him to be debut. I really am not. And I think WWE is a bit concerned because right now they have a good thing going. And when they debut him, you can't really go back to these vignettes. I mean, I guess you could, but at that point, the rabbit's out of the hat. Can you put the rabbit back in? I don't think so. Right now, I think they, and I am all for this, something foreign to 2019 wrestling, is long-term booking. To those in WWE creative, what that language means is you book beyond a 2-week time frame. Let me say that again and slow down just to make sure that WWE management and creative understand these new words that I'm saying. Long-term booking, say it with me, means that you look beyond 2 weeks. I know it's a lot to take in. I know you're probably sitting there with your jaw on the floor. You're not understanding what more than 2 weeks means. It just means book longer. Longer. More. Getting it now? So with Bray Wyatt, you want to book longer than 2 weeks and have a long-term vision. That's L-O-N-G, term vision. Long-term vision. So, you know, I'm being facetious, of course, but I think that concept is lost on WWE creative, not just with Bray, but with every star, because probably, you know what, they have so many writers and they have so many moving parts and so much talent. I don't think they know what to do at times. They have no clue. They just kind of throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And you can't do that with Bray Wyatt. The Bray Wyatt strategy needs to be long-term and in reality, instead of being, you know, a jerk about it, long-term, 3 to 6 months. What do you want this character to be? Who do you want him to be feuding with? I don't think you can go beyond that because what if the character in execution, you may have the best plan in the world, but in execution, what if it flops? And it could. It could. I hope it doesn't, but it could. But you need to just execute the plan and see what happens and go from there. But I would say 3 to 6 months, give it your all and see what happens. So whoever his program is with, at the beginning, which I believe should be a top guy, maybe they're just going to see how the crowd reacts to him and take it from there. They cannot. There's just no option for Bray Wyatt to screw this up, for WWE to screw this up. They have a good thing going with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt right now, that is one of the highlights of Raw. And you know that they acknowledge that it's one of the highlights of Raw because they put it in towards the end of the show. And they don't bury it in, you know, the middle of the show or hide it. they are putting it in a pretty prominent place that they know people are watching. And I'm enjoying it. I've enjoyed it since day one when people were absolutely torching it on Twitter and social media. Oh, this is horrible. What have they done with Bray Wyatt? I said, give it time to breathe. And I said, we are talking about it. It had the most views on WWE social media the entire week. And look where it is now. We're still getting vignettes. We're still getting the backstage stuff. But it's a character you can follow and is infinitely more interesting than the version of Bray Wyatt that we had prior that was, again, monotonous, couldn't win a big match, spoken riddles, repetitive. All he had was his entrance with Fireflies, and then from there he would lose his match. I mean, really, that's what it was. So I'm enjoying The Fiend. I'm enjoying what they're doing. The animals and friends that he has, basically, it seems as if he is now keeping them in purgatory in his little safe place that he has, he said. I believe that the witch and all of his characters that he's created, he is, in the story, keeping them in purgatory. And it's just, it's a creepy iteration of a children's show. I love the sound effects. It's just all around great stuff. So again, every week I will continue to commend Bray Wyatt. I will continue to commend the WWE production team for their efforts on this. They have really, I think, knocked it out of the park so far. Now comes time to really see if the rubber meets the road and if they can actually translate this to the ring successfully. And I hope they have a hell of a plan. I really do. Ricochet winning that five-man elimination match was, I think it was a nice move for the simple fact that it's a new matchup. And apparently, according to the McMahons, who came out last fall and said that we hear you and you guys are in control now, you'll get fresh matchups. Again, fresh matchups are not the problem with WWE. That's a symptom, not a cause. Nonetheless, we get a new matchup for the United States Championship with Samoa Joe and Ricochet this Sunday at Stomping Grounds. And am I the only one, just on a weird side note, I can't take the name Stomping Grounds seriously. Because, and I don't know if this was a local thing or whatnot, but years ago, I'm talking like, you know, 15 years ago or so, 20 years ago, there was a children's play center that was named Stomping Grounds. And it had like tubes and ball pits and like, you know, kids' jungle gyms. And it was just a zoo of kids. And it was, I believe it was a national company, but I can't get that out of my head and take Stomping Grounds seriously when there was a Stomping Grounds kids center that I pretty much grew up on for kids' parties and my friends' parties, things like that. But anyway, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one on that. But Ricochet, back to him. This guy is a physical specimen. He's a super athlete. He has really taken this, I think, this call-up seriously. He has been a standout from the latest round of call-ups. He does his flip-flop fly-in, which to me, it's flashy, it's cool, it's jaw-dropping, it's whoa, wow, ooh, all of that. But it also comes at the expense of selling. I mean, he could have his ass whooped the whole match and then just maybe make a babyface comeback and hit his 620 splash with ease. And then, you know, stand up, hold his hand up, and, you know, he won the match. Where's the selling? I mean, that's the problem with everything today kind of being a little bit sped up, more athletic, more flips, more flops, more, you know, jumping around and 360s and all that, which is visually appealing, but it takes away the selling, which is how you create emotion. It's not just a spot fest. And I think at times Ricochet is so anxious to show off what he can do, he doesn't stop to think if he should do it at the expense of selling and trying to emote a reaction that is genuine from fans to get involved in his character when I can't do that if he's not showing any pain, any kind of sadness, and any kind of anything. It's just, oh, I get knocked down. Oh, I'm hurting for 5 seconds, and then I forget about it, and I get up. I don't want them to oversell every move. But, you know, there's times where, and this, the whole roster, the whole industry is guilty of this. When I say industry, WWE, of doing this. I mean, look at Sami Zayn. Comes out of the KO show. Yeah, he's sitting down, but if you got whacked in the back with a steel chair as many times, and across the body as many times as Sami Zayn did, wouldn't you be in like a, maybe even a, like a faux sling or a back brace or a neck brace? You know, these attacks are just not sold at all. Outside of Shane McMahon's legitimate bruise, and boy, that thing looks nasty. So anyway, I'm looking forward to Ricochet and Samoa Joe. I'm not going to give away my prediction on that one because I'm going to save my predictions for Thursday with my co-host. But I'm looking forward to this, yeah, because it's a fresh matchup, because that's what's missing is fresh matchups. No, but okay, sure. I am looking forward to it, though. All joking aside, I'm looking forward to this match. So I just...
Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
I'm a bit fearful of what they're doing with Samoa Joe, as I have been for months and months, and really going on years now, of what they've done with Samoa Joe. The next segment here, and I'm kind of jumping around, but some of the highlights. I can't go through every single detail, but when Becky Lynch came out and called out Lacey Evans, she said that she's sick of looking at Lacey and she's going to give her what she deserves. We had Evans come out. She gets on the mic and said that Becky is just mad because she doesn't understand her and she doesn't know who Lacey really is. She's a United States Marine, all that, and Becky Lynch says she respects that, but now Lacey just goes around sucker punching people. And Becky ends up attacking Lacey Evans to end the segment and wears her hat up the ring. So I guess it's building a small amount of... I got to come up with a synonym for momentum. I hate saying the word momentum. WWE has made it uncool to say. It's like a corporate buzzword right now. You got to say momentum. I don't know. There's X amount of times. I mean, there's like a quota they have to meet every time, especially when they get towards pay-per-views. It's key in building momentum. When the hell has momentum meant anything in wrestling? Never. Never. There's no such thing as momentum, even in real sports. I really don't believe in it. Every game is its own game. Even when you're looking at baseball, football, whatever. You could have a more positive mentality that, hey, we've been on a roll lately, winning, I don't know, X number of games in a row. That's great. I feel good. We feel good about our team. But every game, you play one at a time. And every match you have is one at a time. So building momentum is nothing more than just a farcical fantasy sports strategy or sports advantage that teams or now professional wrestlers apparently have if they continue to win matches and win matches and win matches. You could go on a streak, but it's not really momentum. It's just a streak. Again, every match, every game, you play one at a time. So, anyway, I will find, if anybody knows a good synonym for the word momentum, please say it. I don't want to feel like I'm a corporate clown. So, okay. Moving on. I'm trying to stay positive here as best I can. This Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss alliance, we all know the end game here. We all know that Alexa is going to outright turn on Nikki once it's revealed to Nikki that she has been played this entire time and used by Alexa Bliss. So Alexa Bliss is, again, kind of, quote, befriending Nikki Cross to help her gain the women's championship from Bayley. And maybe Alexa Bliss does capture it on Sunday. Maybe she does. I haven't really thought about that match yet in terms of what I think will happen. But it's possible. It's possible. You had Bayley get attacked on social media for not taking a picture with a fan who was wearing a Nikki Cross shirt. Whether there's any truth to that or not, I don't know. In real life, no. But what I'm saying is, in storyline, did Bayley actually do that? I don't know. Is it leading to a possible Bayley heel turn? I don't know. Probably not. I'd like to see Bayley heel, but I don't think so. I think maybe if Alexa captures it on Sunday, you know, maybe we have a double turn and Bayley shows her true colors and beats down Bliss. Nikki Cross tries to help, and then you have Sasha Banks return, and you have a two-on-two program there. I mean, maybe. Who knows? Who knows where even Sasha Banks is at with the company? It doesn't sound like she's any closer to returning than she was, but maybe that's the point. Maybe we're not supposed to believe that she's anywhere near returning or close to returning to WWE at this point. From all sources that I'm reading, hearing, it doesn't seem as if she is close. She's kind of distanced herself. She seems very unhappy with the way she's been treated and the creative and all of that. And so it seems to be a running theme with the talent in the company. So moving along here, we also had the main event again with Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan. It was a non-title match. The winner via DQ was Seth Rollins. But after the match, Owens, Zayn, and the Revival come out to the ring to get the revenge on Rollins. The New Day and the Usos come out for the save, and the Usos end up hitting the suicide dive on all the heels at ringside. And the ring announcer announces that the match will restart with just Bryan and Rollins. I was glad they did that. I was fearful that when the match was going to be restarted, that it's going to be a 15-man tag team or something, you know, one of the Teddy Long specials. I was concerned. And happily, everybody was banned from ringside. I thought that was good. Yes, Rollins cleanly beat Daniel Bryan. And I'm not the biggest fan of that. I would have been fine with the non-finish just because I think this is a match that they could have saved for down the line for a much longer program. Yes, Daniel Bryan is the tag team champions. One half of the tag team champions of SmackDown. I understand that. But we will remember this, that Seth Rollins beat Daniel Bryan clean, and I don't want to remember that, because did they blow this one a little too early? Maybe. As great as these two were, I mean, it wasn't a five-star classic, but they have a lot of things they could and will do when they meet in an official program and not just kind of a one-off wild card nonsense rule, and they have a full-fledged program. Which maybe happens at SummerSlam, maybe happens at Survivor Series, Rumble, or even WrestleMania. These two could put on a 20 to 25 minute classic. So the fact that Rollins just beat him clean, yeah, it made the fans go home with a smile on their face, but it also kind of poured cold water on this program that could be and will be, I think, a hell of a program when they decide to go full-fledged with it. At the end, obviously, we had Baron Corbin come out and beat Seth Rollins down with a steel chair to get his revenge on Seth. So he also hit the End of Days, and then he holds up the Universal Championship as Raw goes off the air. So Baron Corbin just will not leave the main event picture. I don't want him in the main event picture. I am tired of seeing him in his slacks and his after-prom attire. I want Baron Corbin to just kind of go away for a while. He's got a little bit of the go-away heat for me. I think he's talented. He's good on the mic. He's got genuine heat. People genuinely dislike him. That's all good, but I'm tired of him on my screen. It's just, it's like eating the same food over and over and over. It's like, okay, you're good, but man, the more I eat this food, it just starts to be, the law of diminishing returns is really what is in play here. And I would like Baron Corbin to just go away for like a month. Just kind of just disappear off my screen. Is that going to happen? No, I don't think so. But from a viewer standpoint, I think he could really benefit from it. And I was hoping he would take a lot of time off after he got fired as the interim general manager. And instead, he just comes out the next week and he was still wearing his same attire and he just would not go away. It's not even good heel heat at this point. It's just kind of like, ugh. Baron Corbin, okay. I mean, I don't know. That's how I feel about him right now. And again, this is not a knock on him. I just need time away from him to learn to love to hate him again. And right now, I just hate to hate him. I just want to love to hate him, if that makes any sense whatsoever. Maybe not. So overall, I thought Raw was a decent show. Some of you, I know, felt differently from the comments that I've seen on social media. I know that many people weren't a fan of it, but I think overall it was good. I mean, we had kind of a resurrection too of Braun Strowman in that match of the five-man elimination match for the Universal or the United States Championship. And it felt good to see Braun come out and just kick ass, not take names. No. Just kick ass. What do you do with names after you kick ass? Like, what? If you kick somebody's ass, what are you going to do with their name? You going to, like, write it down? Are you going to, you know, have them wear a name tag so you can take their name? Like, what do you do? I know, oh, it's just an expression. Why are you breaking down an expression? Well, WWE is overusing this cute little tagline that they make all the announcers and all the wrestlers in their promos say, which is just such, it's a reflection of the corporate environment that I can't stand. I can't stand when they make people or just put these cute little taglines for pay-per-views in wrestlers' promos. Leave the taglines to the announcers. Don't put the taglines in the wrestlers' promos. Okay? It's just such a corporate environment when it's such a reflection of that. Okay, moving on. But I don't know what you do with a name when you kick somebody's ass. What is the purpose of that? Does it make you more badass to take their name? Wouldn't it make you more badass to not care what their name was, though? Isn't that more badass and more edgy? You just kick their ass and go, I don't care who you are. So you're kicking their ass and go, well, who are you? I need to know your name. I'm going to take it. I don't know. Maybe I'm going off the rails here, but they've said it so many times that I want to break down this phrase and I want to make sure that I understand exactly what this phrase means. I've heard it before. Of course I've heard it before, but I've never heard it to this volume before. So I'd love to know what kicking ass and take names means. I don't know. I'm surprised they didn't say kick butt and take names. I mean, it's a PG era. How terrible would that have been? Think about that. How terrible and cartoonish would that have been? It's time to kick butt and take names, by golly. I mean, they might as well just have added that to the promo. There's certain times where you have to curse mildly. That is one they had to. How awful does that sound if they had said that? I mean, think about that. Kick butt and take names. Good grief. Okay. All right. So, but I did enjoy Braun Strowman, who really seemed to get a new invigorated life to his character on Monday night, coming out and just decimating people. And I really loved it. He was just being who he should be as Braun Strowman, not Mr. I take inanimate objects and strange big things and make them go boom and pick them up. I take man and crush man. If you're going to use caveman language, that's who I want Braun to be. I want Braun to be a giant. I don't need Braun to be running around the ring and doing flips and flops. I need Braun Strowman to be the beast that he is. Not Brock Lesnar, but himself. And I liked what I saw on Monday night. Yeah, he got pinned, but after getting three finishers put on him and then three guys pushing him down to get the pin. And, I understand that both Lashley and I forget who the other competitor was that was eliminated, not Miz, Miz with the end. I understand that those two guys were pinned or had lost and were putting themselves back in the match, but it showed that it took three guys to keep him down.
Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5. Get to Old Navy's Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.
That's what I liked. So, Oh, Cesaro. One quick mention on Cesaro. That's who was the first guy that was eliminated. And surprisingly, he seemed to be getting a little bit of life in that match, too. This match benefited a lot of guys, and I was a fan of it. Cesaro, who has been floating out there since the bar broke up, and thank the Lord the bar is over. I mean, it ran its course. It was fine. Whatever. Cesaro is back on his own with entrance music that is whatever. I mean, I don't know what to think about it yet. But Cesaro, when he finds who he is as an individual, look out. Because I think we are underestimating Cesaro. I think he's overlooked right now. He has so much of an upside that when he finds the personality and puts it together, he's money. He is money. He can go in the ring. He's freakishly strong. He's got a great look. He could be something. And what he showed Monday night in that match was a reminder about who he is. And so it was a great night for Cesaro, regardless of the fact that he got pinned as the first man out. It reminded us who Cesaro was and put him back on the map. And it certainly put Braun Strowman back on the map. And not just on the map as a monster that just tips big things over. He put him back on the map as a character that he should be playing anyway. A monster that just destroys other guys and just kicks ass. That's what he was, and that's what I liked. Bobby Lashley, I don't even know what to think of him. I really don't. I thought he had a lot of, momentum. But he did. When he was the Intercontinental Champion and Leah Rush was behind him, I said, okay, this is the first time I actually care about his character. And then he just kind of faded out. And when you look at Bobby Lashley's physique, you would think that you would feel something for his character. I don't feel anything for him. It's whatever he had is just kind of gone. Bobby Lashley is big. He's strong. He's got a physique that's almost inhuman. He's all of that. But he's the perfect example of not having the other half, more important half, I would argue, of being a successful star, and that is personality and gimmick. He doesn't have it. He's never had it in WWE. I thought he was going to get it with Leo Rush, and it just dissolved in front of our eyes. And now he's just this big guy that he's cool to look at, makes you feel bad about your own body, and then takes the pinfall and loses. So, all right, well, that is really my thoughts on Monday Night Raw. Overall, I'd give it a C plus, B minus. I thought it was an average to above average show. So I'd give it a slight thumbs up. And I would say, again, outside of the critiques that I have and always have some, I thought it was a very good show. I really did a good show, I should say. Another quick little tidbit before I leave you guys is, and this is kind of a story that's running the newswire too, is Steve Austin says that the Ambrose podcast haunted him for years. And I'm taking this right off a credible website. And Steve Austin recently went on record of saying that he felt responsible for the way the podcast went down in 2014, and that it's his job to put the talent over and make them look like $1 million. He feel like he didn't do that. He felt like he hurt Dean Ambrose's character, John Moxley's character. And it was. My God, guys, if you haven't seen the Dean Ambrose on Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast back in 2014, just watch with caution. Be prepared to cringe. And understandably so with Dean Ambrose. I mean, there's only so much you can reveal when you are the still somewhat new to the scene, but been here enough to know how this place works, and you can't trash the company that you are on their network being asked questions about. So it was kind of Steve's fault for putting Dean in that place. What do you expect Dean to say? Yeah, the creative sucks here? You can't say that. So, but apparently they have come to terms, and Dean and Austin, or John Moxley and Dean, John Moxley and Stone Cold have wiped the slate clean. They said they held no animosity towards one another, and that shortly Jon Moxley will be appearing on Stone Cold's podcast. It'll be interesting to see if Jon Moxley holds to his word that he's not going to be talking about WWE anymore and only going to be talking about the future. Be interesting to see if he holds to that on Stone Cold's podcast. So, but nonetheless, boy, that was an uncomfortable show. That was, I remember it. It felt, I can't believe it was 5 years ago. Is it really that long? Feels like it was like 2 years ago, not five. But anyway, guys, thank you. I'll end it here. Thank you so much for joining me again. Thank you for making this show what it is. I'll be back tomorrow with a SmackDown review and then back to round out the week again with my co-host on Thursday. And we'll be discussing Stomping Grounds, giving our predictions and any other news stories that have happened and come up during the week. And so that'll be a lot of fun. I'm kind of enjoying being here every day. It's a pretty cool deal, or at least 5 days a week rather than two. It's a cool deal. I'm enjoying it. And I hope you guys are too. And maybe I'll continue this. Again, this is an experiment this week, but one that I'm damn near enjoying a lot right now. So thank you guys for so much. And check out the website too, by the way, if you haven't already, WWEpodcast.com. It has a lot of new content. I know that we are content starved right now a little bit, but it just got up and going. So we're going to be, we've added writers. Every podcast is put on the site, so you'll never miss a show. And new articles, new opinions, more video, all of it is going to be on that website, WWEpodcast.com. And we put a lot of time and effort into the revamp and reworking and revitalization of the site. And I hope you guys enjoy it because I do. I really do. And I love what I do. And I love being able to share this with you guys and hear your opinions as well. So, all right, that's all I got for today. So you guys know what I'm about to say. I'll talk to you next time.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5. Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only, Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29, select styles only. In-store only, limit 5.